Welcome back to the Iowa Crossroad Podcast. This is your host, Max Pringle. Today, we're going to be discussing civil liberties and civil rights here in the state of Iowa, specifically the Iowa Democrats in their party platform, Plank 498, oppose the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, as was passed by the Iowa legislature, and they would like to repeal it. Stay tuned. It's going to get interesting today.
Grab your coffee and brace yourself. Join your host, Max Pringle, on the Iowa Crossroad Podcast, where partisan positions meet theological clarity. Side effects of listening may include offense, frustration, and the sudden urge to defend a party platform with Bible verses it doesn't actually support. Iowa is at a crossroad, and the road to the cross is the one we must take. The fun begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religious freedom is the ability to hold a religious belief and to practice that belief, both publicly and privately, through worship, teaching, and observance, without government coercion or persecution. Sincere belief matters. It is crucial to the vitality of the soul. What someone believes about religion, theology, or spirituality shapes how they see the world. We usually call this a worldview. A worldview, think of it like this. It's like a pair of glasses. Everything you see passes through it. If the prescription is right, you see clearly. If it is wrong, your vision is distorted. Whether someone is deeply religious or claims to be non-religious, everyone has a worldview. And that worldview shapes how they think about politics, economics, education, family, morality, justice, etc. That's why religious freedom, again, the freedom to practice a belief or to not practice a belief, is essential to individual liberty. Now, government should not endorse a religion in the sense of declaring that a specific set of beliefs must be held by citizens, but government must endorse moral standards. It has to. We trust government does not endorse murder. We trust it does not endorse rape, incest, child molestation, theft, or other destructive crimes. When these things happen, we call the police. We seek justice, and rightly so. So yes, government legislates morality. The real question isn't whether morality will be legislated. The question is which morality, and according to whose standard. Article 1, Section 3, of the Iowa State Constitution says this: "The General Assembly shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, nor shall any person be compelled to attend any place of worship, pay tithes, taxes, or other rates for building or repairing places of worship, or the maintenance of any ministry or minister." I want to focus on the word respecting. "The General Assembly shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion." This word is often misused by people who believe religion should be completely excluded entirely from public life. They argue that it means that government cannot encourage or acknowledge religion at all. That's not what this means. This language is about preventing the creation of a state religion, a government-mandated church that citizens are forced to attend, fund, and support. There can be a state flag. There can be a state bird. There can be a state motto. But there cannot be a state church. The Iowa legislature, bound by the state constitution, cannot establish a state religion. That limitation is perfectly clear. So what exactly qualifies as a religion? Religion is simply a system of beliefs, practices, values and worldviews through which people order their lives, through worship, moral teachings, rituals, etc. Some religions worship a god, others pursue enlightenment, but all religions make moral claims. A constitutional overreach by the Iowa legislature would be forcing Iowans to join a particular denomination. Another would be forcing students to pray or attend religious classes with the intent to convert them. But discrimination also cuts the other way, preventing Christians from attending church, like what we saw up in Minneapolis, where protesters and rioters came into the church, city's church, and tried to interrupt their worship. That is discrimination. Other examples of discrimination would be denying students access to chaplains, punishing people for acting according to their faith. These are all religious discrimination situations. As a Christian, I reject forcing anyone to become a Christian. That's one of the things that distinguishes Christianity from coercive belief systems. The Iowa Democrat Party has adopted platform planks that openly discriminate against Christians and other religious believers. Why? Because they believe traditional Christian teachings conflict with what they define as human rights. Christians believe marriage is between one man and one woman. Christians believe God created male and female. Democrats call this discrimination, but notice the irony. They reject Christianity because it doesn't align with their moral beliefs. Let's look directly at what they've said. Under the Civil Rights and Civil Liberties section of the Iowa Democrat platform, Plank 495 says this: "We oppose discrimination against LGBTQIA+ community. That's the lens through which everything else is viewed." Then if we look at Plank 498, it says this: "We oppose the Religious Freedom Restoration Act as passed by the Iowa legislature." Wait, what? They oppose a law that protects religious freedom? Why? Because the LGBTQIA+ ideology functions as a moral belief system, a moral framework that demands conformity. So while Christians allow for a voluntary and free ability to choose to serve Christ, to choose to follow Christianity, or to not follow Christianity, the LGBTQIA, I'll just shorten that down to the gay agenda. The gay agenda demands conformity. It seeks special protection while denying protection to long-standing religious traditions. And no, this ideology should not receive religious freedom protections any more than child marriage, polygamy, or honor killings under Sharia law. So what is this Religious Freedom Restoration Act that the Democrats are so vehemently against? In simple terms, it protects people from being compelled by the government to violate their sincerely held religious beliefs. That could mean not using compelled speech, like pronouns, not celebrating events that violate conscience, like baking a cake for a gay couple, for a gay marriage. This could also mean not being forced to participate in actions that contradict your faith. This law exists to protect people like Jack Phillips and Kim Davis. Jack Phillips, many years ago, refused to bake a cake celebrating a same-sex wedding. And more recently, I believe this was in 2024, he refused to bake a cake celebrating gender transition. This case, of course, went all the way to the Supreme Court, who ruled in favor of Jack Phillips because of his religious freedom. This law also protects people like Kim Davis. Kim Davis refused to issue same-sex marriage licenses based on a religious conviction, and she was jailed for it. Rather than waiting for these cases to happen in Iowa, the legislature acted, and Democrats were furious, and they responded with putting into their party platform anti-religious anti-Christian viewpoints. In 2024, Iowa passed Senate File 2095, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It was signed then by Governor Reynolds. 29 states have similar laws. 9 more have comparable protections. That's 38 states. Yet Iowa Democrats oppose it. Why? Because they want freedom from religion, not freedom of religion. Get that in mind. They want freedom from religion, not freedom of religion. This all comes down to worldview. Not whether we have one, but which one we will submit to. A Christian worldview teaches submission to God. Humanism teaches submission to human ideas. History shows us where that leads to. Humanist ideologies have fueled genocide, mass death, and moral collapse throughout history, and we are not immune. Let me ask some questions. Has our culture improved morally or declined? Since 2015, has society become more family-friendly or more sexually confused? Are young people healthier or are more anxious, depressed, and isolated? Are girls' sports fair? Is marriage being strengthened or undermined? And by marriage, I mean traditional marriage between one man and one woman. Consider these statistics to help you answer these questions. Consider these statistics from Gallup surveys. The boomer generation, only 3% of them identified as transgender. Gen X, 5.1%. Not much difference. The millennials almost tripled, with 14.2% of the millennial generation identifying as transgender. And if you think that's bad, wait until you get to Gen Z. Gallup surveys says that 23.1% of Gen Z identifies as transgender. This does not happen by accident. It doesn't. You have essentially up until what, the 1990s, you have, or the 1980s, you have only 5% of a population being completely confused about their gender, and then now you get to 14% with the millennials, and now almost 25% of the Gen Z generation. That's astounding. Let's look at some more statistics. Since 2007, the U.S. birth rate has dropped by 20%. 20%. Young people are being told that career and self-fulfillment matter more than family and legacy. And that lie has consequences. That lie is perpetuated by generations of people who have gone out, abandoned their families, went and worked a job, and now have severe regrets about what they have decided to do with their life. Rather than acknowledge their mistakes, they lie, and they want the younger generation to make the same mistakes that they made. And so they lie, and they say it's going to be okay, and that this is freedom, and this is women's liberation, and this is feminism. When in fact what it is destruction. It's destruction lying in wait for these young generation as well. Obviously, if you look at the previous survey results, where you have Gen X saying 5% and millennials saying 14% identify as transgender, and then it's even worse with Gen Z, let me ask you something. When did this women's liberation piece get off to a very strong... When did it get kicked off? Under the millennials or under previous generations? Well, it was under previous generations. So really, the millennial generation was the first generation that was raised by people that were not their parents. They were shuttled off to daycare as soon as they possibly could, and then they were shuttled off to public school as soon as they got done with daycare. Gen Z is the same thing. It just got worse. So as we see the parents leaving the homes to go work their jobs, we see the children identifying more and more with confusion. Now, Scripture is clear. God tells us that God created male and female. He told us this in Genesis. Acts 5:29 says we must obey God rather than man. So keep in mind, in Acts, Peter and the other apostles had been arrested for talking about Jesus, for spreading their faith. And the courts of that day ruled in favor of the humanist ideology. Sound familiar with today? Anyway, Peter and the apostles were told, were reprimanded, rebuked, and the courts ruled in that day that they could no longer speak about Jesus. And Peter looks right at those justices and says, "We must obey God rather than man. We will go on to continue to preach about Jesus Christ." So while the world of that day tried to coerce Christians to shut up, Christians said no. And it is up to the Christians nowadays to say no and to rise up against this ungodly and against this coercive generation that seeks to coerce the Christians to bow the knee to the humanist ideology, namely LGBT gay agendas. Now, Jesus never coerced belief. He said that people could freely come to him. If they didn't come to him, they would not get forgiveness of sins, of course. But we see that Jesus doesn't force people to love him. God never forces people to serve him. He never does. So if the king of the universe doesn't force faith, neither should the government. But the king of the universe doesn't force Christians to bow the knee also to the humanist ideology. He calls them above this and says, do not bow to the government when the government coerces Christians to shut up. The Iowa legislature can and should promote moral teachings aligned with our heritage. But religious freedom does not protect violence, abuse, or evil done in the name of that belief. The Iowa Democrats want to replace traditional faith with the religion of humanism. They want you to submit to it. Don't. Get married, raise children, go to church, read your Bible, and pass it on to the next generation. Reject the policies that strip religious freedom. Vote accordingly. Now, here in the state of Iowa, we have a gubernatorial race coming up this next year, in 2026. Governor Reynolds has decided to not run for office for a third term. And so we have an open seat. We have several Republicans, solid Republicans, that reject coercing Christians to bow the knee to humanist ideologies. But we have two Democrat candidates as of right now. It might change. I highly doubt it. But we have two governor candidates for the Democrat Party, one of which is Rob Sand. Now, Rob Sand, if you go out to his Facebook page, Rob Sand has done a ton of town halls where he has gone all over the state. And I admire him for that. I think that generally the Democrat Party has refused to do town halls and to speak to the constituencies because, we all know that the constituency doesn't like all of the radical ideology. Anyway, I digress. Rob Sand has went out and done all these town halls. Within these town halls, he constantly quotes the Bible and uses verses out of context. I heard him one time speak about immigration, and he says that, you know, Christians need to love others and to open their doors to their neighbors, because if we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, then we don't love God. Well, Rob Sand quotes verses like that, takes them dramatically out of context, and where does it lead to? Well, where it leads to is the older generation hearing Bible verses and thinking that Rob Sand is not as radical as he actually is. You say, well, Rob Sand is a radical. Well, maybe he isn't, and I'm not making that claim that Rob Sand is just incredibly a radical Democrat, like, say, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Gavin Newsom, and the likes of those people. But anyway, Rob Sand very well might be more, quote-unquote, Christian than the others, because he quotes the verses openly. However, we must evaluate the verses that he's actually using, and then also evaluate the party platform that he aligns with. Can Christians align with a party platform that seeks to shut Jesus up? No, they cannot. They can't. You cannot be a sincere Christian, a sincere follower of Jesus, and tell genuine Christians to shut up. You cannot be a genuine Christian and have a position and align with a party that has the position that they can force you to use the pronouns of someone else's choice, in spite of the fact that the creation order, God creating male and female, does not give way to this, I wouldn't say reality, but doesn't give way to this delusion. God created male and female. So Christians should not recognize or affirm humanist ideologies that don't align with that, that don't align with male and female. We also should not align with things that are not traditional family values, things that do not promote traditional family. So, namely, sending our children off to daycare as soon as they possibly can, as soon as we can possibly get them into a daycare, ship them off, and pay somebody else to raise our children for us. That is not a Christian virtue. We should take our children to church. We should surround them with other like-minded believers who desire with all of their heart to please God and serve Him. And that looks differently for everybody. I fully understand that. I'm not advocating for specific denominationalism. What I'm advocating for is that you be fully persuaded that you are right in your religious beliefs and that you teach your children the good Christian morals that the Bible teaches. Teach them that. That is your role as a parent. For reference, I've got another podcast episode talking about parental rights and parental responsibilities. Please go give that a listen to. It outlines what I'm referring to about the parental responsibility to raise your children to love God and serve Him. So please go listen to that and share that with others. But getting back to it, we as Christians should not vote or align ourselves with a party that thinks that two dudes could get married, especially when that position is clearly, clearly not scriptural. We're not talking anymore about a higher marginal tax rate. We're not talking about what foreign policy should look like. We are talking about the very foundation, the very fundamentals of human dignity. We should not align with a party that thinks that boys can just start whacking body parts off, or girls could start whacking body parts off because they are a bit confused, because they have been lied to. Let's be clear about that. They've been lied to. We should not align with a party that teaches that or promotes that. And any Christian that does is not a sincere Christian. Let me repeat that and say it a little bit louder for those in the back. A sincere Christian will not vote or align themselves with a party that promotes anti-biblical ideologies. It's that clear. Someone can claim as much as they want to that they are following Christ, but if they are voting for a party that supports murdering babies, transitioning young people, and promotes two dudes banging each other, they're not a sincere Christian at best. At worst, they're not a Christian at all. So, The Iowa Democrats want you to submit to their religion of humanism. Don't do it. Don't do it. Get married. Raise your children. Go to church. Read your Bible and pass it on. Reject these policies that strip religious freedom. Stay tuned for part two. I've just barely touched the surface of the radical ideologies that the Democrat Party is promoting. In part two, we'll be discussing religious bias against Christians, including limiting clergy in public schools, limiting school-sanctioned religious practices, and also sanctioning or endorsing any group that the Southern Poverty Law Center does not like. So stay tuned. This is only the beginning. If this episode mattered to you, share it. Consider supporting the Iowa Crossroads podcast on Patreon, where we host quarterly roundtable discussions and listener Q&A. I'm Max Pringle, and this is Iowa Crossroads.